And it's great to be back with you with our special guest, Leslie McGuirk, as we're talking about Leslie's work, The Power of Mercury. Mercury Retrograde, next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Dorey with you, Leslie McGuirk. Leslie, you were telling us a story. Do you want to finish that? You're talking about a mother and her child or something?
Oh, right. So if a mother has a very soft Mercury placement and the child is a fire sign feisty, they're going to have to come to an understanding that they are extremely different in how they're wired. The child is going to, when they get upset, use language that is fierce or aggressive or feisty, and that will upset the mother, and the two of them could be in this really difficult battle. But if they understand using astrology how to work with those differences, then they can come to peace with it. And I like to look at people as if they're dogs. So you would never get upset with a basset hound for being like a basset hound. It's just the way that that animal is. They're not going to be fast like a greyhound. So when we look at astrology, so if a child has Mercury in Sagittarius, and remember, fire, so they're going to use words in a fiery way. And if the mother has water as their Mercury placement, fire and water don't really get along that well. But it's not that it's anyone's fault. It's just learning to appreciate that both have beautiful qualities about them. It's just that the combination is sometimes a little tricky. And that's a difficult one in any relationship when the elements are not that compatible. And it's kind of easy to understand if you just look at nature. So fire and air, that's more compatible because you can't have a fire without oxygen. And then water and earth, that's very compatible because the ocean meets the earth, a lake is held inside the earth, and plants need water. So water, earth, it's easier. Water, water is fine. Earth is fine. It's just when you do the fire and earth, not so easy sometimes. But it doesn't have to be negative if you have awareness.
I'm going to ask you about the major presidential candidates in a moment. Let's take some calls. Let's go to our first-time caller in Burbank, California. The birth date for Jen happens to be August 26th, 1973. Jen is a Virgo. Let's go to Jen. Hey, Jen, welcome to Coast.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Good to have you with us. Go ahead, Leslie.
Okay, so Jen, you said August 26, 1973?
Yes.
Okay, so your Mercury, when you were born, was direct, and it was in Leo. So this means that you're very direct with words, I would imagine, because Leo is very strong and a powerful placement. So think about when you talk, you're going to come across like a female lion. You're going to be very protective of those you love, and you're going to be, if somebody comes at you with something you don't like, you'll be able to hold your own with words. Is that a correct assessment of how people perceive you?
Yeah, that's how I am.
That's how you are. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you're not a Leo sun sign, but that just happens to be where it was when you were born. So you see how it's different in terms of how it describes your way of being. Like, that's a very strong placement. So if you have a relationship with somebody who has Mercury in water, you just have to be aware that they're going to be very sensitive to the way you use language.
Yeah, I don't think I have that problem. I don't. My husband is Sagittarius.
Yeah. So what's his birthday?
October 13th, 1963.
Okay, I'll just tell you about the two of you. 1963.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what, October what?
13th,
okay. Direct Libra. So that's beautiful because he's air. So air and fire is very compatible. That's a nice combination.
Interesting.
You did well there. See, it has nothing to do with your sun sign. We're just looking at how you guys mentally connect with each other. That's a very easy, pleasant combination.
Oh, cool.
Great. Thanks, Jen.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Now, when people call you, do you want a specific question about something?
Well, they can ask me whatever they want, whether or not, again, this is short, like what I call baby food astrology, so I can't get into too much depth.
No,
so.
We got to hit them fast.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to get my money's worth from you today.
Oh, good.
Okay, the two major presidential candidates, we still have Gary Johnson, who's got 8% in his polling, the Libertarian, and Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate. She's got about 2 or 3%. But let's go through Hillary's signs and Donald Trump's signs. Leslie, have you run them at all?
Oh, my gosh, yes, and it's extremely interesting.
All right, who do you want to start with?
Let's start with Hillary because I already talked about her a little bit before.
Sure.
Okay, so we're just going to look at their community.
All right, do we want to qualify this by saying, are you supporting any of these two or anything like that?
I prefer to say that I'm neutral.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Okay, so the thing with Hillary that is very difficult is that she has three planets in the House of Secrets. So when people feel that she's secretive, it's like she can't help it. She genuinely is, because there's this hidden quality to her. And that can be very frustrating because she cannot understand why people always react to her in this sometimes quite negative way. In her mind, she feels very much as if she's upfront and exposed in every way, but other people don't feel that way about her, and that's very clear in her chart. Now, her planet of communication is in Scorpio, and it's making a negative aspect to, when I say negative, it's a tension point with Saturn, which is the planet of hardship, difficulties. So she is always battling with issues around communication. So this whole thing with the email scandal, it's part of the negative music that's in her chart. So when we realize that there's a pattern like that, it's very important to go at it with intention and try to clear it up. Because as I told you earlier, I think you can outgrow your chart. So there's a definite place where she gets stuck in a swampy mess when she gets into this particular part of her chart where she falls into a little bit of a mud hole. And what's fascinating is that Donald Trump also has a Mercury issue in his chart. So I'll just tell you that both of these candidates have strong natal charts with Mercury, the planet of communication, making not very easy aspects with other planets. Now, in Donald's case, his Mercury is in Cancer, which is the same as what I have. So in his mind, he tends to think that his words are soft and gentle. He's very loving with how he expresses his emotions. But his planet of communication is making a square to Neptune, which is the planet of illusions and delusions. So it means that when he opens up his mouth, sometimes what he says is just coming from left and right field, and there's this very confusing quality to his form of communication. So the analogy I give for people who are born with this, it's like they're standing in a swimming pool under the water, and they're talking, and the people on the pool deck are just shaking their heads like, I have absolutely no idea what that person is saying. It makes no sense to me at all. But the person who's in the pool talking under the water, in their mind, they're making perfect sense. So what's really tricky about these two candidates is that they both have issues with communication. And on top of it, both of them were born with absolutely zero Earth planets in Earth signs in their charts, which means that both of them make us feel very unsettled, very restless. There's so much anxiety around this election, because when people are born without an element in their chart, it means that they're a little bit out of whack. And what's fascinating about, let's take Donald Trump first, all of the beauty queens like Elizabeth Taylor, Marilyn Monroe, Farrah Fawcett Majors, they were all born with no Earth. And Earth is the body. It's about the physical being. It's also about money. So think of all the coins are from the Earth, from metals that are found in the Earth, and the bills are trees. So what is Donald Trump most known for? Beauty pageants and real estate.
And his TV and his TV show.
Right, and his TV show. Exactly. So he, whenever we're missing an element, we tend to become over-focused with the very thing that we're missing. So, for example, like in my chart, I don't have any air. So what do? I study air and space with astrology. So you become actually really good at the thing you're missing, but there's still an imbalance. And Hillary Clinton also has no earth in her chart. So we have two presidential candidates who are, there's something about it that both of them with their Mercury's being afflicted and both of them without earth, that there's this unsettled quality with both of them.
Yeah, sure is. Let's take some more calls here before the break, and then we'll take final calls. Thomas in La Jolla, California just has a question for you. Go ahead, Thomas.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call. Leslie, it's a pleasure to hear this interview. My question is, there's the astrology at the time of your physical birth, but there's also the astrology at the time that you were conceived by your father, by your mother.
Right.
I was wondering if you could speak about that. How important is the astrology of conception as opposed to physical birth?
All I know, unfortunately, is about physical birth. I agree with you that there's probably some really interesting way to look at that conception moment, but the one that's very accurate that we can easily determine is the moment we take our first breath. Most hospitals will record down that time. And if people don't know their birth time, just so you know, you can actually call your hospital and get that information. It's amazing how many hospitals have those records. But it's that chart of your time of birth, which is the way that I do astrology. But you're right, it's an interesting thought. It's just not my area of expertise.
Leslie, will astrology predict who the president might be?
It's possible. I've been looking at this, and I cannot tell. On election day, I look at these two candidates, and I can't say that it's great for either one of them. And ironically, the person who has the best aspects for that day is Bernie Sanders. It's like crazy happy, good for him, but he's obviously not running. So I can't tell you what's going to happen. I can't predict it. It's going to be very close, I think, because these two candidates, even though they're so different astrologically, they're kind of cut from the same cloth because they both have the earth imbalance and they both have the Mercury communication issue. Hillary with her email issues and the secretive stuff, and then Donald with his freedom of speech and saying all these things that keep getting him into trouble. When you think about it, it's like a real crisis in communication on both sides. So it's pretty fascinating and pretty unsettling at the same time.
We have Douglas in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I'll give you the date first, January 10th, 1943. January 10th, 1943. Capricorn. And let's go to Douglas, east of the Rockies. Hey, Douglas, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Leslie. I was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Mount Sinai Hospital on a Sunday around 12 noon.
On January 10th, 1943.
Right.
Okay, so your Mercury sign is in Aquarius, and it was direct. So you are one of these people who is always planning and thinking in the future. You're always trying to make things better for the world, better for others. Usually people who have this are big humanitarians and also very curious. People like you are actually hardwired to study astrology. So if you've ever been interested in it, this would be something really good for you to use with that incredible brain of yours. Have you ever found it fascinating to you?
Yes, I have.
Have you been studying it?
No.
Okay, well, now you can start.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
What's the downside of astrology? Is there any?
Oh, there's an incredible downside to it if it's in the wrong hands. Yes, because this wiring system, imagine like going to a doctor who's not really that skilled at the art of surgery, you can get into trouble. So the same thing is true with astrology. If it's not in the hands of if your natal chart is being read by somebody who's not skillful with words, if someone who doesn't know how to be compassionate, it can be incredibly damaging and dangerous. And I think it's one reason why astrology has been given a bad name, because there are people who do astrology who probably shouldn't be doing it. Like, I have a client once who had her chart read years ago, and the astrologer told her that she would never get married because her house of relationships was empty. And this young girl was in her 20s, and she left that astrologer crying and here she called me, you know, 20 years later, still single, and she felt that her life was doomed in the relationship department. And it just broke my heart because that astrologer was 100% wrong. And when something is empty in a chart, it doesn't mean that it won't happen. It means that you don't have any karma there. It's actually easy. But if somebody puts into someone's head, they plant that seed of negativity, it will just blossom, and it's a very negative thing. So people have to be very careful when they go to an astrologer to make sure that the person is someone that they can trust, because you're basically like your car. You take it to someone to have it fixed, or you go to a therapist. You want to make sure you're going to someone who's skillful.
Well, you sure do, indeed. We're going to take calls after the break. If I go to one now, we might run out of time and not do them justice. But how many astrologers do you think are out there right now practicing this?
Well, there are
thousands, millions.
Well, not I don't know. I know in India there's a form of astrology called Vedic astrology, and in India it's very popular. So, in the United States, I go to astrology conferences, and probably, you know, there are a couple thousand people at these conferences. But I think it's a dying art. Most of the people who are at these conferences are older.
Mm-hmm.
I get very upset when I see, you know, people in their 20s and 30s who are not learning this ancient science. And I'm very concerned about it going away because it is so useful. And just to give you one quick example, I have two people in my hometown who are both fire sign parents, and they had a son who was completely useless to them. He was just lying on the couch like a slug, and they were so upset because they were fire signs. They were aggressive and feisty people. And they didn't believe in astrology, but they didn't know where else to turn, so they called me, and I looked at their son's chart, and he was water all over his chart. And of course, water and fire, it's not that easy. And I looked at his chart, and I saw that this kid was an absolute swimmer. He was a total fish. And that I knew that if he was put in the water, he would thrive. So I told them that they needed to get their son in the pool. And they laughed and they said, well, that's ridiculous. He doesn't even swim. I said, I don't care. This is where he will be flowing. So they got him in the pool. He was 16 years old. And within a year, the kid was winning state championships in Florida. And he just got into an Ivy League school in the Northeast on a full swimming scholarship. So that's something that an astrologer can do to help redirect people, redirect families, make things easier for people. And it's something that you can't go to a therapist to get that kind of, you know, advice or counseling.
No.
It's a very specific kind of gift that an astrologer can give somebody.
Well, it's in the stars, isn't it?
It is. It's our imprinting system. We're no different than a tree or a snowflake. We have a pattern, we have a design, and we're supposed to do the best we can with that particular design. And when I don't know what would have happened to that child if they hadn't called me, because they were so frustrated with him, and he was just getting very sullen and angry, and because he wasn't in his place, and he was not like his parents. He was never going to be like his parents.
Well, you help out a lot of people, Leslie. We're going to come back and take final phone calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, my colleague Richard Serra will be filling in for me tomorrow as I'm off on special assignment, and I've got another one next Friday. Jimmy Church will be in. I've got to participate in a corporate event, so they will be filling in the desks for us on Friday and next Friday as well. So thank you both to Richard and to Jimmy Church as well. We're going to come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We'll take your final phone calls next. Okay, welcome back to Coast in our final segment with Leslie McGuirk as we talk about her work, The Power of Mercury. Leslie, some things do happen when Mercury goes retrograde, though, right? People say, oh my God, it's Mercury retrograde. This didn't go right. That does happen, right?
Absolutely, but it's usually funky little things. It's like your toaster might not work or your car has some issue, but usually it's not something super serious. It's just kind of irritating.
So Mercury kind of has a sense of humor?
Well, I hope so, yes. I think Mercury informs what makes you laugh, so yes. I think it's the universe's way of getting us to remember that it's important to basically have commercial breaks. Like here we are on this radio show and we have to stop and hear the commercials now. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's just like Mercury retrograde.
Well, it keeps the show on the air. So
exactly.
What do you
think? And that's what I think Mercury retrograde does too. It keeps us balanced. It keeps us sane. Because without these times when we're forced to be a little bit slower, then we would only be zipping forward. And when you're going really fast all the time, it's a symptom of total immobility because you're not able to notice anything that's going slow. So it's a time to just not freak out, just slow down, realize that things might not go exactly as you wanted them to, but it doesn't mean it's disastrous.
Now, when you talk about Mercury looks like it's going in reverse, are you talking about the planet doing its rotation,
yes,
or going around the sun?
It's rotation. It's orbiting around, and it's from the planet Earth. It's looking as if it's going backwards. So we're just talking about
spinning,
all these
spinning backwards. You mean
exactly?
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting take.
Yep.
How do we know that's not happening?
How do we know that it's not actually going backwards?
Yeah.
Because it's just the scientists can tell you that they are all moving forward all the time.
Stranger things happen.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. So. Yeah.
What if it's real?
It's possible. You never know.
All right. Next up, we're going to El Dorado Hills, California. Lisa's with us. Aquarius, Feb 14, 1967. 2 14 1967. Hey, Lisa, do you have a question? Go ahead.
Hi.
How there?
I finally got through to you.
Yes, you did. So do you have a question for Leslie about yourself?
I just can't seem to function a normal life, and I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know. I just feel like I'm stuck.
Is that Valentine's Day you were born on?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
So February 14th,
1967.
Okay, so your Mercury sign is in Pisces, so you have a very strong tendency to kind of swirl around in your brain, and part of what happens to you is that you can get very confused easily.
Yeah.
And so what we want to do when we see Mercury in Pisces is realize that you have incredible intuition. You probably have a lot of psychic abilities, yeah, and it's really important for you to take time to really tune in to your inner voice and to take physical steps to move forward, because you can get caught up in like a little whirlpool of all your thoughts. And so it's really important for you to stop and actually physically do things to change things. Like for you, it's super important to make sure you're meditating, getting outside, having a list of things you want to do and actually accomplishing them. Do you have sometimes trouble like following through on things?
Everything. It's like I can't pay my bills on time. I have multiple sclerosis and I'm disabled. And first I was confined to my house, and now it's like I can't even leave my room. All I want to do is, you know, lay down. I'm hypnotized by the television and the radio.
That's very indicative of what happens to Mercury Pisces when it starts going down into the path of getting too Pisces and too fish-like. So what you want to do is try to listen to music. Try to do things that are not always just about escaping from reality.
Yeah.
And that it's really important for you to sort of get yourself with very practical, real ways to anchor in. And not just try to, you tend to spin off into like other places and you can't focus, right?
No, I cannot.
Right. Okay, so that's your natural tendency, but there's always a way to harness the incredible positive aspects of this Mercury in Pisces. And it has a lot to do with creativity and imagination. Like, do you ever read novels, or do you ever try to draw or do sculpture or photography or anything like that?
I used to do, you know, work with plants and stuff like that and just be out in nature. I used to go to the beach all the time, and now I live up here. It's just like, I don't know.
Well, there's always a way. If you focus on trying to add those qualities in your life, it'll start to shift this for you. But again, we all have places in our chart where we can we can sort of sink into things. And but then once you understand that your system is meant, you're supposed to learn from what you've been given and not go towards the negative part of it and use it in a positive way. So use your creativity, use your incredible intuition. You're super sensitive. You pick up on things really easily, and yet you can also get depressed because, again, it's a water sign. Water always has to do with emotions.
Are most astrologers upbeat?
That's a tough question for me to answer. I'm not sure. I
You seem to be.
I am, because I always believe that astrologers should never look at anything as a negative, that you could have a very difficult thing, like what you're describing right now in your life. There's a lot of really difficult things, but there's always a way out. And we have to use our energy to try to move forward all the time. There's always a way to make things better.
Take a moment to tell us about the power of Mercury. I know we've been talking a lot about what Mercury is, what Mercury retrograde is. Tell me about the book.
Okay, so I set out to write this book, number one, to demystify astrology, to make it user-friendly, to make it understandable. So the first third of the book is about my history with astrology, how I came to it, and how I believe it's so incredibly important. The next third of the book is all about Mercury retrograde, which we've been talking about. And then the third part is the most useful thing. This is a book that's a total guidebook for life, because you can look up anyone's birth sign and find out where their Mercury sign was when they were born. And then you can read in the chapters what that's like to be born with that particular placement. And then you can look up your Mercury placement compared to another person's and read the combinations. So it's sort of like explaining what it's like to put two spices together. So if you have cinnamon and nutmeg, what is that like? Or cinnamon and cayenne pepper, it's different. So it's about the combinations. And there's nothing ever negative about any Mercury placement. It's just trying to understand the compatibility between the different signs. And so for me, I wrote this book because I use astrology so much as a way to understand the people in my life. So it's a useful book if you are married and you're frustrated with your husband and you wonder, why is it that he never can understand what I'm saying? The book will help figure out a way to make it work better for both of you. Or if you've got a child that's driving you crazy, you can look up your Mercury sign and theirs and say, oh my gosh, no wonder this has been either so wonderful or so difficult. And then, of course, anyone who's single, my gosh, this book should be sitting by your bed every night, because you need to look up the people that you're dating and figure out if your relationship has any chance of being successful, because it doesn't matter how great the sex is or how great the emotional connection is. If you cannot communicate with your partner, it's going to be a difficult relationship. So I think it's an incredibly invaluable and very easy to read book. You don't have to know anything about astrology to understand how to use this book. It's super easy to use and read.
Astrologically speaking, would you dump somebody you were with because things didn't match up?
I wouldn't use the word dump, but I'm very careful. So if I see particular aspects that somebody's chart does to mine, I will be very cautious, because there are some things that, as one person said to me, one of the astrologers that I learned from, they said, Leslie, you can burn off the karma with a guy over a cup of coffee. You do not need to get married to them. And it was a great analogy of understanding that there's some people that are just going to be teaching you way too many lessons, and I'd rather be with someone who makes me smile and laugh and where there's a loving, gentle energy. That's what I prefer in life. So life is like a buffet. You have a choice. You can choose to be with people who are easy and fun, or you can choose to be with people who are just a little bit tricky for you. And it's not that they're bad, it's just not that easy for you.
Okay, back to the phones. Wild card Mark in Kansas, December 15th, 1959, 12-15-59, Sagittarius. Hey, Mark, what's your question? Go ahead.
Good morning to both of you. George, it seems like when I want to get on the phone with you, the water's part. I grab my staff, I stride boldly across the ocean floor and find myself dry on the other side.
And the magic happens.
I wanted to have a word with your guest tonight. And since childhood, always blessed with lots of creative gifts. And, you know, my parents more kind of regarded it as kind of like I was a pet that could do a lot of tricks rather than to invest in your child and help your child develop those talents to be, you know, something great, something better. It's amazing. Mark can taught himself how to play the drum set. Mark can pick up a calligraphy pen and write like he's been living in a monastery all of his life.
It came easy for you.
Always. And as I said, when I got to a point when I was in my mid-teens, my dad was almost racked with jealousy of me. That I could play, when I brought the drum set home from school, my teacher said, "Do you want to learn to play the drum set? I don't have a trap drummer for next fall." "Yes, Mr. McDaniel, give it to me. I'll make it happen." My dad said, "No, I'm not paying for lessons. I didn't need them." I moved out in the country, lived with a farmer all summer, and played drums in his dairy barn.
Leslie, is that a trait of a Sagittarian?
Well, they're very feisty people who love to constantly go for the next challenge. So, yeah, it sounds like you were a pretty determined kid, right?
How about a quick question for her, Mark? Go ahead.
And at this point in my life, someone told me that I have a moon in Cancer.
Okay, well, you're very lucky. That's an exalted position. It means you're very sensitive. The moon loves to be in the sign of Cancer. So even though you're a Sagittarius, it's really not telling people what you're really like. Because inside your heart, you're a very gentle, very sensitive guy. Would you agree with that?
Well, what does that mean, though, a moon is in a sign of Cancer?
Okay, so when he was born, remember, astrology is a map of what was above his head at the moment of birth. And all of those, they're like rocks floating around in space. When he was born, the moon was in the constellation of Cancer. So think about the constellations as being like fabric up in the ceiling of a building, and the planets are like plopped inside different constellations. So we all have every single zodiac sign somewhere in our chart. So when he was born, the moon happened to be in the sign of Cancer. And the moon sign tells us how he's going to behave when he gets emotionally upset. He's going to be very sensitive, very tender, very gentle, and quite emotional. It's a beautiful placement. You can't go wrong with that placement.
Next up, we go to Laura in Cincinnati, April 10th, 1964. April 10, 1964, Aries. And Laura, you are up with us. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I was just wondering if you knew anything about, like, financial or even health.
Well, in terms of looking at Mercury, that doesn't help with health things at all. So it's too difficult just with the information of your birth date and year right now to get into that kind of detail. With a full astrology reading, that can definitely be covered. But in terms of just your communication, you were born with Mercury in Taurus. And it was direct, which means that your mind is very practical, very much about having things be safe, and you like things to make sense. And usually people who have this are usually quite good with money. Have you felt that you are?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, you're not someone who's going to be likely to go off and gamble it away.
No.
See? Yeah, you're more practical. You're careful with it, and you know how to save, and that's all a good thing. You're not prone to getting angry. But if someone does piss you off, you might get feisty. But it will happen like maybe once every 3 years. Is that about right?
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, thanks, Laura. Why is it with someone like me, Leslie, a Gemini, two personalities? I mean, truly, I have two, and everybody's told me that. And most Geminis do. Why?
Because your sun sign is describing your make. So like everyone is like a car, so it's like saying you're a Mercedes. So Mercedes have particular tendencies. They're known for being a particular way. So a Gemini, the twins, there are two sides. They can be 1 minute one way, and then you turn around, and then there's something else. But one thing for sure about all Geminis is that they're great conversationalists. They're great to take to a party. They're usually make everyone feel at ease. It's a great sign to have for your profession, George.
Sure.
Because it's like you can talk to anybody. And most Geminis have that gift. They have the gift of gab. You must have kissed the Blarney Stone.
Maybe a long time ago. Almost out of time, Leslie. Where do people get your book, and how do they get a hold of you?
Well, they can go to my website, LeslieMcGuirk.com, and they can order the book from there on any of the buttons there for Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or in any independent bookstore. And on my site, there's also a Mercury calculator, and people can easily go there and put in your birth date and year, and it will instantly tell you where Mercury was when you were born and give a little paragraph or so about what it's like to have Mercury in that placement. And then the book is what you really need to get in order to read about how you are with other people. And that's where the real magic lies in this book. And as I said, it's going to be something I hope people will use on a regular basis to help them understand even the people they're in the office with. Because there's always somebody who kind of gets on your nerves. And if you can read the book and say, oh my gosh, no wonder, because his Mercury's in fire and mine is in water. We're always going to have this sort of tension. But the great thing is then you don't take it personally.
No, not at all. Hey, Leslie, thanks for being on the program. Let's keep in touch. Did a great job. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burles, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.